Mishnah Yomis for Thursday, the 21st day of Tishrei, Tovshin Pei, Hey, Hoshana Rabbah. Masechta Bava Metzio, Perek Shemini, Mishnah Gimel. Asher L'Sapor, a person who borrows a cow, V'shulchaloi, and the lender sends it to him, sends it to the borrower, V'yad Benoi, V'yad Avdoi, V'yad Shluchai, through his son or his servant, or the agent, or some other agent of the lender. Oi, or even if he sent it, biyad benoi, biyad avdo, biyad shluchai, shel ha-shoil, through the son, servant, or agent of the borrower. In any of these cases, vomesa, if the cow died on the road before it reached the hands of the actual borrower, potter, the borrower will be exempt from payment because he doesn't become a shomer, an official guardian over it, until it actually arrives in his property, in his rishus. When it comes to the shliach, the agent of the borrower, some Farshim Lane explained that it means it's not talking about a case where he appointed the shliach in front of witnesses. If he would have done that, then once the cow reaches the shliach, that would be appointed by witnesses, in front of witnesses by the shoel, by the borrower, then he would be chai for ansim. That's how some learn in the Gemara. Others argue with this, and they say no. Even if the borrower appointed a shliach with edim, it still would not be enough to make him chayiv until it actually reaches the borrower's hands. What happens if the borrower said to the lender, Shalchali, send the animal, send the cow to me, biyad beni through my son, or biyad avdi or through my servant, biyad shluchi through my agent, biyad beneich or through your son, biyad avdach through your servant, biyad shluchach through your agent. Or the lender said to the borrower, Hareini mashalcholach, biyad beni, I'm sending the animal to you through my son, biyad avdi through my servant, biyad shluchi through my agent, or biyad beneich, or he said, I'm sending you the cow through your son, biyad avdach through your servant, biyad shluchach through your agent. And the borrower said to the lender, shalach, send, please send. Bishulcha, and he sent it, the lender sent the animal, b'meisa, and the animal died on the road, chayev. The borrower is chayev, he's already assumed responsibility once it reaches in the hand of any of these agents or son or their servants. And the reason is because now, once the borrower has actually said, yes, send it to me through there, or he's initially opened up the request to send it through his servant or the lender's servant, by doing that, then the shoel is chayev. One qualification the Gemara explains, that when we say that the borrower said to the lender, send me the animal through your servant, and he sent it and it died, that the shoel, the borrower, is chayev, that's only if it was through a Hebrew, a Jewish servant. If, however, the lender send the animal through a Goyish servant, through the Avid Kanani, even if the borrower said to send it through him, he would not be chayiv and oinsin until it reaches the hand of the borrower. And why is that? That's because the case of an Avid Kanani, of a Goyish servant, is different to the others, because we have a rule, yad avdoi ki yad raboi, that the hand of the Avid Kanani is like the extension of the hand of the master, the Jewish master. And therefore, in that case, it would not have left the reshus of the lender until it reaches the hands of the borrower. In the case of an Avid Kanani, regardless of who initiated the appointment of sending it, doesn't matter. In either case, if it's the Avid Kanani, then it's an extension of the shot of the mashil of the lender. The same thing in reverse, when it comes to returning back the animal to the lender. That if once the borrower has returned the cow back to the mashal, to the lender, through any one of these, that we say it does not left his rishus, the borrower's rishus, until it comes to the hand of the mashal of the lender. And therefore, if it dies on the road, the borrower is chayv to pay. But if the mashal of the lender says that he should go and return it, they told him that he should return to him, or the shoyal, the borrower, said to the mashal, I'm giving it to you through them, and the mashal says, no, send it, and he sent it back, and it died on the road, the shoyal will be potter. All of this is talking about a case where they're sending, returning it back during the period of the Shayla, the period of the loan, of the borrowing. He borrowed it for a week in his land and is returning it back within that week. After the week, however, after the period of the borrowing is over, then the borrower does not anymore have the status of a shoyl, he's not chayv for oinsin anymore, rather he'd be chayv as a shomer socher. And therefore shomer socher, a paid guardian, is only chayv for gneiva and aveda, events like that, but not for things which are beyond his control, like an oinus, because he's no longer a shoyl after the period of shayla is over. Mishnah Dalad. Hamachalif Parabachamoyer, a person who swaps a cow for a donkey. This is called a kinyan chalifin, a kinyan, the exchange kinyan. So what happens is the owner of the cow makes meshicha on the donkey, pulls the donkey along, and by doing so, the owner of the donkey now acquires his cow, which is nowhere near where his place. It might be far away from his place, but he's coined it straight away with it by this Kenyan called Chalifin. V'yolda. Now, what happens if the cow has given birth in the meantime? The cow's far away and it's given birth, and we don't know when it gave birth. Did it give birth before the Meshicha was done on the donkey or after? There's a big difference as to who owns that child, that baby, the calf. V'chein ha-moicha shivchosei, if a person sells his maidservant, the kananis, and he received the payment, and she's still in his reshus, still in his possession, but once the lokeach has paid the money, he acquires her, because an avid kanani can be bought with kesef, with money, like real estate, like land. And once v'yolda, and this maidservant, this non-Jewish shivcha maid, gave birth, and once again we don't know when did this shivcha give birth. If she gave birth after the buyer paid the money, well, then the buyer keeps the child as well as the shivcha. If, however, she gave birth before the lokeach paid the money, then the child will stay with the original owner. Now, ze omer, the seller says, ad shelo macharti, before I sold the shivcha, she gave birth, and therefore I keep the child. And similarly with the cow. The cow gave birth before you did meshicha on the donkey, and therefore if it gave birth first, then I keep it, says the original owner of the cow. But the buyer is saying, no, mishalakachti. After I paid for it, then she gave birth, in the case of the cow or in the case of the shivcha knanis, and therefore I keep it. Yachloiku, says the Mishnah, in such a case, they split it half-half. The value of the cow, or the value of the calf, I should say, the value of that child eved, the child slave, will be split into two. The Gemara explains that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Simchus, who holds that momen hamudal b'sofek holkin. If money is in a state of doubt, we split it. But the halacha is in fact not like Simchus, and therefore not like our Mishnah. The halacha is like the Chachamim, who hold that if the cow or the shivcha is in the reshus of the seller, then the buyer is the one who's trying to take out of his friend. He is the moitzi, and it's up to him to bring a proof. And if he can't bring a proof, then it stays with the seller. There are different opinions. Some say that Simchus will, even according to Simchus, we're talking about a special case where the cow was in a pond and the shivcha was in a simta, in an alleyway, where no one is being muchzik, no one has more title over it. But if the cow or the shivcha was actually in the reshus of the seller, even Simchus would agree. That's how Tosfos learns. Hoyuloi shnei avodim. What happens if there were two servants, two avodim? Echad gadol, echad katan. One was an older one was a young one. And he sold one of them. V'chen shtei sodos, or if he had two fields. Achas gadola, v'achas katana. a big one and a small one. Halakech Omer, the buyer says, Godol lakachti, I bought the bigger field, I bought the bigger avid. V'halo Omer, the seller says, no, you didn't. Eni yodea. Sorry, he doesn't say no, he didn't. He says, Eni yodea. He says, I don't know which one I sold. Maybe yes, maybe it was the big one, maybe it was a small one. Says the Mishnah Zocha Bagodol, the buyer gets the bigger one, the bigger field or the bigger avid. Why? Because he is certain and the seller is not. The seller is in a state of doubt. And we have a rule, Bori Veshema, Bori Odif. When someone's sure about something, he wins. Now, the halacha again is not like our Mishnah, is not the case. And therefore, the Mefarshim is not the case in the sense that we don't normally say Bori Veshema, Bori Odif, that we go follow the Bori. But rather, what is the case? So they explain the halacha as follows. We're talking here about a case where the buyer was demanding from the seller, I want my money back. And I paid for the bigger event. I paid for the bigger field. I want money that I gave you of the bigger field back. Right. Now, the seller says, no way. He says, I don't know. I don't remember which, if you paid me for the price of a big avid or a price of a small avid. I don't know. In this case, we have a case of moida b'miktzas. The seller is admitting that at least he definitely paid the price of a small avid or the small field. What I don't know, what he doesn't know about, is if he paid as much as the price for a big field. But this is a case, a classic case of moida b'miktzas, where he has a partial admission. And the halacha is, when a partial admission, moida b'miktzas, the person who makes that admission, who admits part obligation, he has to swear, give a shvuah. But he can't give a shvuah because he doesn't know. So because he doesn't know and he can't give a shvuah, therefore he has to pay to the buyer according to what the buyer says. He must pay the buyer and give him back the price or the money that the buyer claims that he gave for the bigger avid or for the bigger field. Next case. Hamoicher Omer Koton Macharti, says the Mishnah further. The seller says, I sold the smaller avid. V'halo Omer, the buyer says, Eni yodea, I don't know. Ein loy ella koton. Now the buyer will only get the smaller avid or the smaller. Why? Because the buyer here is only a shema, he's only a maybe. He doesn't know for sure. Whereas the seller is confident, he says, Bori, I'm sure. Ze omer godol, what happens if the buyer says, I bought the bigger one? Ze omer, and the seller says, cotton? No, I sold the small one. Yishova ha moicher sha cotton mocher. The seller has to swear that he sold the smaller one, and that's what happens. He gives the smaller one. The Gemara asks a question on this halacha. Why should he have to swear? He's claiming one thing, and he's admitting the other thing. In Hebrew we say, Mashaton loy, lohoideloy, or mashahoideloy, loytonoy. What one fellow claimed, the other fellow did not agree to. And what the other fellow agreed to, the other person didn't claim. So there shouldn't be any shvuah, any oath in such a case. Second question the Gemara asks is, we don't swear for things of avodim, claims over servants and over karka and over land. So how do we explain this? So the Gemara explains that the buyer is demanding not the avod himself, the actual avod. He's demanding back, I want my money back that I paid for the older avid or for the bigger field. We're talking about a case where he paid the money back and they both agree to they'll stop the transaction. The question is that the buyer says, I paid already the price for a big avid and and I want my money back. Meantime, the seller says, what are you talking about? I only received money that you paid for a small avid. In that case, again, we have a case with moida b'miktzas, where the seller makes a partial admission. He is chayiv to give a shvuah. He's chayiv to give an oath. And that's exactly what the Mishnah says. Yishova ha-moicha, the seller has to swear that he only received money, the value of a smaller avid. But they're not arguing about the avid itself. It's the money, the payment, that they're arguing about how much was paid. Ze Omer Eini Yodea Veze Omer Eini Yodea. What happens if either one of them, each one, doesn't remember properly how much they paid for the Avid, or for which Avid they bought, or which field they bought? Yachleiko. Then they split it halfway. And this is like the opinion of Sumchus, once again, who holds Momen Hamutal Basovik Holkim. When money is in doubt, we don't know who owns it, we divide it between the two people who are fighting over it. However, we've already mentioned that the halacha is not like Sumchus, the halacha is like the Chachamim, Hamoitzi Mechaber Lavaraya, the one who's trying to extract from the other. The onus is on him to bring a proof, and until he does, the money will stay with the person, or the property will stay with the one who is muhzik, who has the status quo over it.